Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends, to another week of Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck. I'm going to talk today about the first reading that we're given at Mass today from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. He begins what are going to be a series of readings that we'll walk through, some of them here this week, and possibly into next week as well, looking at some of the most inspiring content the New Testament gives us. I mean, Romans is a masterpiece in a certain way of just Paul's incredible teaching of really who Jesus is and what he's accomplished for us and the new life that we're given to him. And so today he begins by telling us what he's come to do, essentially, who he himself is, who he understands himself to be. And it's so important for us. We can learn something from St. Paul. He has such clarity about who he is and what the Lord has called him to. And he's living by a simple principle. I am who God says I am. I am who God says I am. Not what the world says about me, not what even the lies in my own mind say about me at different times. In our case, those who are baptized into Christ, we are children of God. We are loved by God, God who is love. And the amazing things Jesus said about his disposition toward us and the Father's disposition toward us. And obviously, he showed it to us beautifully, perfectly, in total fullness in his death on the cross and offering himself up for us. But saying in John's gospel, he said, as the Father loves me, so I love you. And then he says later in John 17, he said, the Father loves you and me the way he loves the Son. And how does God love us? God loves us the way God loves God. We are brought into the amazing good news that Paul's going to touch on here, the good news of God's love for us that moved him to send his only Son to become one of us, to make it possible for us to have power to become children of God and to be given an identity that's so far beyond, almost infinitely beyond any kind of identity we could form for ourselves or that the world might offer us. But we're clearly in him, and to live with a renewed mind, which one of the things you'll see in Paul's teaching is what a transformed and renewed mind looks like. And the Holy Spirit's given to us to strengthen us, to help us know and understand, to come to bear the fruits of the Spirit, come to take on the mind of Christ. And part of that isn't just knowing the mission or knowing dimensions of Jesus, but to see in Jesus, in that knowing, in that faith, friends, a deep experiential knowledge of who we ourselves are in relationship to God. There's nothing more freeing, there's nothing more healing, and it's something I think each day we need to lay hold of and sometimes battle for, because certainly we all have days where it seems far from us. It seems out of reach, and we become more dominated by discouragement, confusion, sense of a lack of identity. It's very common living in a fallen world to battle such things. This is the triangle of the world, the flesh, and the devil that we have to deal with, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And God's word is a place where the mind gets cleansed. The mind really comes to see. We get enlightened, literally. We get enlightened by the help of the Spirit in reading the revelation of the word of God that penetrates the heart, examines the heart, and helps us see ourselves right at the core of our being. So here's Paul. Paul says, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. So he's a servant. He's a slave. He belongs to God. He belongs to the Lord. His life is totally dedicated. He goes on to say, called to be an apostle, that is a sent one, and set apart for the gospel of God. He's been set apart. He's been made holy, first of all, in being set apart, but he has a special calling, special purpose in his life. And he's set apart for what? For the gospel of God, for the good news of God. The good news. And friends, this is something that we all should take a moment and just ask the Holy Spirit to help us internalize. God's disposition toward us, God's communication to us, is first and foremost about the good news that he wants to bring us. And Paul continues. He says, the gospel of God, which he promised previously through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So Paul's making reference to the Old Testament and the prophets who foretold the coming of the Messiah. And he said, through the prophets and the Holy Scriptures, he promised this in what we receive now. He says, the gospel about his Son. What is the good news of God? The good news of God is the good news about his Son. Jesus is the core, the center of the gospel, of God's good news. And he gives to us his precious beloved Son to come and to save us, to renew us. And it's not God coming to give a correction. It's not God coming to just kind of get everybody in straight lines. It's the lavish, overwhelmingly beautiful, powerful reality of his Son, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what God has prepared for those who love him. And what God has prepared, he spoke through prophets, he spoke through the Old Testament, building up to the fundamental revelation in the fullness of time. The good news is God has come in the person of his Son, his eternally begotten Son, to save us. And that salvation, we'll see, is God coming to do what we can't do, what nobody, no human being can do on his or her own power. God is coming to give us something none of us have. He's come to give us his life and a share in his life and a participation in his glory. And this is the thing that captured the mind of the apostles. They were able to, and as we've said many times on the program, as John the apostle articulated, he said, we've come to tell you what we've seen, what we've touched, what we've heard. We declare to you that the eternal life that was with God has appeared to us. The eternal life of God, God's own life, has appeared to us in the person of Jesus. And the resurrected humanity of Jesus is the place where they saw a fuller revelation, not even the full glory, but an astounding one, the reality of the power of God's life and what God's power can do for a race of people that are lost, that are trapped in sin and death, that are in a fallen world and have no capacity to pass through our great enemy, which is death, without God reaching down, without God coming for us. So here's Paul. He loves it. The good news about his Son descended from David according to the flesh. So Jesus is in the messianic line of King David, but established as Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, through resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's a mouthful there. It's a beautiful mouthful. So he was established Son of God in power. Now, commentaries you read will remind us that David and David's sons took the throne. They were given titles, Sons of Yahweh. And by decree of royal adoption, they take their place on the throne. And what was happening in King David's line, Jesus takes to a whole nother level. He certainly is the Messiah of David, but he didn't have a crown put on his head in Jerusalem that enthroned him to govern Jerusalem, to govern the people of Israel. He wore a crown of thorns. And the Messiah's destiny included that he would suffer and die for the sake of the forgiveness of sins, and that he would rise again to a new creation. And the whole new order, the kingdom of God, remember Jesus said he came to preach the kingdom. He said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. That means the reign of God, the reign of the king. And so what the whole history of Israel is pointing toward in the coming of the Messiah isn't just establishing and reestablishing David's kingdom on the earth in Jerusalem, but it's fundamentally about the new creation that the Lord God is bringing about in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. And so Jesus is enthroned in his resurrection and ascension to the right hand of God, and he's received this royal adoption through his resurrection and ascension. And he's enthroned at the right hand of God the Father, where he will rule forever. And this fulfills God's covenant oath to David, you know, that he would, his reign would rule forever. And it's in the Messiah, it's in Jesus that that happens. And so just the wording of Paul is beautiful. He's saying, you're descended from David according to the flesh, but established as Son of God in power. So by the power of God, he's raised to new life, and he enters into a new creation, and the eternal Messiah, the Son of God, his full destiny, that's in Jesus, is to pass through and conquer all the enemies of God, which is not just the Amalekites and the different tribes of people that attacked Jerusalem, but it's literally Satan himself and his kingdom get brought down. And the dominion of darkness and the powers of sin and death are stripped of their power. And the darkness of death that consumes and instills so much terror, Christ is the light that shines in the darkness. And there's a light in him that could never be overcome. And this is what the Messiah is. This is who the Messiah is. He's literally passing from death to life, and he's establishing an eternal kingdom, the uniting of heaven and earth in the person of Jesus. And he was established through the resurrection from the dead in this way, established Son of God in power, crowned by the Father. And then Paul just ends that sentence, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus means Savior. Christ means anointed. And Lord is the same word used to relate to God the Father. He has authority over all things, and he will come to judge the living and the dead as well. It says, through him, we have received the grace of apostleship. So Paul is an apostle. He said, for what purpose? To bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the Gentiles, among whom are you also who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So here's the summary of Paul's mission. He said he's been given this gift, grace, an anointing and power and a calling from God to be a sent one, a uniquely sent one in the case of those first apostles, to bring about the obedience of faith. And so faith is that radical acceptance, first of the revelation that Jesus communicates about himself, what the scriptures communicate about him, what the church now communicates about him. It's that grace of God to say yes, but it's also an entrusting oneself, our whole life, to Christ. He said, so to bring about the obedience of faith, that kind of obedience is what Paul's talking about, that radical surrender of love. Because in that obedience, faith is the doorway to seeing God's plan, seeing God's purpose, seeing Christ, seeing what it means to be a child of God, how to live, and obedience is at the core of it. Because what it expresses, that first commandment purpose, which is of the greatest and of first importance, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. So to bring about this obedience is what Paul's talking about for the sake of his name among the Gentiles. So Paul's going to preach to the Gentiles who were far off, not the Jewish people primarily who were drawn near, though he absolutely speaks to them as well. He says, among these you are also, you're called to belong to Jesus Christ. Just that little simple phrase, to belong to Jesus Christ. That's a description of what it means to be a disciple. That's what it means to be baptized into Jesus. My life is no longer my own. I literally belong to another. And that's the most freeing thing we'll ever experience in this life. It's a profound gift. There's a lot of power just meditating, friends, on that phrase today. Maybe think about that. Asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me understand what it means to belong to Jesus and to no longer be my own, right? The life I now live, as Paul says in another place in Galatians, I live by faith in the Son of God. This is so key. I live a life of abandonment, of radical trust and surrender to another, and I make it my aim to please him. That is the whole purpose of my life. Blessed be God. Have a wonderful and blessed day, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.